Gospel for this Sunday comes to us from the 25th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus is in Jerusalem, and these are part of his final parables that he speaks before his betrayal. Again, he's speaking of the kingdom of heaven. "For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more. In the same way, the one who had the two talents made 2 more talents. But the one who received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I've made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who left had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" The Gospel of our Lord. Gee, are we ready for some hellfire and brimstone after these lessons? I hope you brought your asbestos undies. No. Yeah. Just for the record, in church history times, you know, Christ the King Sunday is next Sunday, which is the annual celebration of the return of Christ, but also the understanding of the fact that Christ is Lord. Probably one of the most countercultural things that Christians could ever say. Because if Jesus is Lord, nothing else can be. All right, and that was started in the 20s as a reaction against secularism and fascism that was coming up in those days, in the 1920s. Before Christ the King Sunday, these Sundays leading up, next Sunday was known as End Time Sunday. And these Sundays were the 3rd Sunday before end times, the 2nd here. This was the Sunday before end times. Yes, we cheered on the coming of the King. Probably because we didn't have this left-behind theology so prevalent around us. Oh, well. Sometimes we just need to relax and do something frivolous, right? For me, that's often movies. The other day, while channel surfing, I came across The Wizard of Oz, and we decided, what the heck? Let's watch it. And Jenny looked at me and she said, "You know, I have a question for you. Which one's your favorite character?" And I said, "Well, I like the Scarecrow." She's like, "Well, that's a no-brainer." One of the things you find all the, you know, one of the nice things about Tucson is they got all these little kitschy places to eat and everything else like that. There's this new place called Argentina's. It's a couple that used to do stuff on Broadway, and it's a kind of a restaurant kind of bar. And knowing that Arizona is really big into bourbon, they have this drink they call a dunk rye, which actually is pretty good. So they had me ask for a dunk rye for me, Argentina. There's your earworm for the day. And I used to, you know, do a lot of traveling. Dad worked in the airlines for years and, you know, flying around. Of course, one of the things that happens on a lot of planes is you often hear a baby cry. And I was sitting next to this one person who was not a very friendly traveler, and he's like, "Man, can you think of anything more annoying than a baby cry?" I happened to have a kazoo in my pocket, and I pulled it out, and I said, "Let's find out." Can you see me doing that? I was a terror on the aircraft. I will not confess to some of the things I used to do. Not now. Because there's a difference between confession and bragging, okay, to be honest. Jesus tells this parable, talents. Now, something to be aware of is the fact when Jesus is talking about talents, he's not talking about talents in the way we normally think of talents. Skills, abilities, those kinds of things. A talent back then was a large chunk of money, literally a large chunk of gold. It was the equivalent of 6,000 daily wages. Okay? So 6,000 denarii, which is kind of equivalent to, you know, many workers and their CEOs' pays nowadays. But you know, and here's this talent. Now, in all honesty, the total gross domestic product of Palestine in the time of the Roman Empire was guesstimated to be about anywhere from 70 to 100 talents. So you can tell that this person has got a bit of money. And it was not unusual for a person of wealth and means to empower their servants, their slaves, with money and put them in charge of things. You are now the steward of what this master has placed into your hands, and you are going to be accounted for it. And so it's not a surprise that, you know, okay, the one with five went and made five more. The one with two went and made two more. It is a major surprise in a Jewish situation that Jesus complains about. It shows the master to the one talent holder who didn't do anything with it, that it tells that person that they should have given the money to the bankers and collected interest. Why? There are literally chapters against that in the Old Testament, in the law. That's usury. You're not supposed to charge on interest. So it's, you know, this is one of those statements that kind of makes you go, wait a minute, there's something going on here. What's with this money issue? What's with this sense of, you know, shall we say, empowerment and or fear? Because notice when Jesus laid it out, he said that the master gave out talents to each of the slaves according to their ability. He already knows this one's an overachiever, this one does rather well. What the heck was he thinking with the third one? That just seems odd. If the master knew the ability, was this a test? Was this an attempt to try to give them an opportunity to show themselves? Or did the master misjudge the person? And here's these talents. Now, I have heard sermons. In fact, you can turn on the TV and hear people talk about the fact that basically what God is telling you to do is to go out and make as much money as possible because that's what God wants you to do. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have done much. Please remember that at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor," not "Blessed are the hedge fund makers." Okay? And the next parable after this, when Jesus talks about the sheep and the goats, which we hear on this coming Sunday, the question isn't how much you have made. It is, to whom have you served? which might make us turn and realize that maybe, just maybe, in the story of 2,000 years ago, when Jesus is talking about a talent as a unit of money, and 2,000 years later we gather and we hear the word talent and we think of it as a capability, maybe it's more about that than it is really about money. What does it mean to be blessed? Because all of these slaves received a massive blessing. Think about it. Even the one who got one talent got 6,000 days worth of wages. And oh, by the way, they don't really get much. They did get some money in the Roman system. Unlike, you know, other systems. They did get some. But to that person, it's like winning the lottery. To the one that got the five, it's like winning the $1 billion, literally. How are you blessed? And do we get so fixated that it's only on dinero? Do we see blessings only in the light of an economic system? At least our modern day understanding of an economic system, and not what the kingdom of heaven's economic system is. And here I'm going to switch languages on you again. Because in Greek, the word that we translate economy means care of the household. Economy is about the care of all the people in the household. So when we talk about the kingdom of heaven's economy, what does that mean? Is that about wealth or something else? And what does it mean to be blessed with different talents in this situation? And maybe that's where we look in this parable and we realize part of the challenge that comes to us. Because what do we see ourselves? Do we see ourselves as fundamentally blessed or not? And why? Do we see it because we compare ourselves to one another and go, oh my gosh, look at all they've got. Look at how blessed they are. And notice that every time we attribute that kind of phrase to just, they are blessed, the shadow side of that is you're coming back at yourself and saying, I am not. What does that say about your relationship with God then? Or your sense of self? And what you're doing to yourself because you're comparing others. Social media is great for that in a horrible way. Do we compare ourselves? Problem one. Problem two, do we misunderstand what it means to have a talent or a blessing and we think, well, it's not that important or not that big or not that usable? There's lots of things that we can do in the ministry of the church. There's lots of ways in which we as beautiful Savior Lutheran Church can proclaim the kingdom of God being near in word and deed. And the one thing that drives me nuts is the times people look at me and go, well, but I can't do what you do. You're right, and you're not supposed to. We're all called and blessed in different ways for different purposes. If some of you would like to get up and preach, talk to me. I'll work with you. I don't have a problem with that. If you want to assist in ministry, you could do that. You know, one of the things that always, you know, gets me is how many times at Primetimers they can't eat until I show up and pray for them. I didn't know that you people didn't have a prayer without me. Please remember that in your giving packet so that we can raise my pay. If that's the case. Really? But how often do we think, well, I'm not good enough. I can't do that. I don't have that gift, therefore I'm not as worthy or valued as someone else. No. 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 But also that third one points to another one. We have fear. How often do we have stage fright? Performance anxiety. We don't want to do it because we're afraid we'll do it wrong. I kid you not, folks, in seventh grade, I intentionally tried to get out of school every time I had to do the speech in English class. Until the English teacher said, okay, tell you what. It'll be just you and me and a video camera after school. I hope to God that tape is long since destroyed because it has me getting ill on her desk. And you're looking at me now going, what the heck? If only you stayed that way, Pastor. But sometimes gifts and talents come out in different ways, in different seasons, for different opportunities. I remember once while flying around as a young man, I think it was in high school maybe, we were going on a family vacation. It was like early summer, I think, and both my brothers were much younger. And we're flying, I think, to El Paso to see the Nichols. And Dad worked there, but it was a vacation. He's trying not to work, and there's a delay. And because it's like right at the beginning of summer, there's a lot of young families flying. So can you imagine the concourse being packed with all of these kids and all these anxious parents about ready to go out, and all of a sudden they're told that there's going to be a delay? And in amongst the passengers that day was this older couple dressed very, very nicely. This one gentleman was wearing a three-piece suit. Yes, folks, back in the day when that was normal. Wife was not a very older couple. She was busy knitting. And he's just kind of looking around. And this very stately older gentleman stood up and reached into his fob pocket and pulled something out. And just started to... He had an original edition Whammo. And he just started walking around. I'm not that good, so I'm not going to keep doing it. He walked around that gate area, just doing all the different tricks, walking the dog, that kind of stuff, around the world, all these different tricks. And very rapidly, all the children in the concourse were going... and watching him. I was watching his wife, who was just chuckling as she was knitting. And he was trying to teach the kids and everything else like that. And the total energy of the room changed. Because this one guy pulled out a yo-yo at a concourse while flying a plane delay. I asked him later, I said, why... He's like, because it's fun. And because it helped. How often do you overlook something that you can do because you don't think it fits or is right in that moment? It's not that exciting. It's not that big. It doesn't look that important. Or you're afraid that someone might look at you funny? Do you realize that you're taking a talent and burying it? It might be contributing to weeping and gnashing of teeth, and trust me, there was already a bunch of weeping and gnashing of teeth in that gate because of kids losing it until he pulled out that yo-yo. But we all have blessings, we all have gifts, we all have opportunities to show them. In fact, you realize the fact that what you have and who you are and the blessings that God has given you might be exactly the thing that is needed in the moment and where you are. That's why God puts you in that situation. That you can minister. Howard Thurman, a noted theologian of the last half of the 20th century made this observation. Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. And out of fear, we bury a talent in the ground. Out of fear, we put Jesus in a grave. And in God's grace and joy and hope for a new life, it comes forth from the ground. And instead of weeping and gnashing of teeth, there is a reason to rejoice and give thanks. And I invite you to think of those ways in which you can use your talents, whatever they may be, so that people, and even you, can rejoice and give thanks. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.